Hello, you're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's Thursday, the 18th of February 2010, and I'm Hereward Fenton. I'll be your host for tonight. We'll have Josh Jackson coming on the show shortly, and we'll also have Jack Frost, the radio host of the Radio Skid Row Workers Radio morning show, coming on. He's going to be talking to us about some issues of the day. And we're going to be going through a number of breaking stories as we do. We've got quite a lot lined up here in the Twitter stream. So I hope you enjoy the show. It's going to be, as usual, packed full of information. Hope you enjoy it. Stand by and we will get right into it shortly. Okay, on with the show. Just want to welcome Josh Jackson to... Sorry, I can't speak. I'm losing my voice. Hi, Josh. How are you going?
Oh, fantastic, Harold.
Yeah, I've been in a bit of a rush today, so it's always hard to get this show off the ground. We've got so many things to organise. Got home from work, and you know how it is. We've got a bunch of stories here up on Twitter. Now, look, yeah. I'm just going to read through the headlines, and then we can get into some of the meat of these stories. First off the rank, we've got, as of July, every Australian will be assigned a compulsory 16-digit number known as a healthcare identifier.
Mm.
We've got ex-florist cheats via Google Maps and now has to do community service. Interesting one. Yeah. We have Greece loses EU voting power in blow to sovereignty. We have architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth announcing a Sydney press conference. An Auschwitz survivor, Dr. Hajo Meyer, talks about the differences and similarities between the Nazis' treatment of Jews and the Palestinians today.
Mm. That's a very full-on one, though.
Fascinating one. We have some British bishops urging a carbon fast for Lent. It's a bit of a joke story, that one, but it's in the Associated Press. So I thought it was interesting to mention it. It kind of confirms what we've always said about the climate change beliefs being essentially a religion.
Yeah.
We have three major firms pulling out of the Climate Change Alliance. Really important story, I think, that one. Mm-hmm. Autism and vaccine fact check. Yellow journalism from Popular Mechanics in an attempt to discredit vaccine skeptics. That's from our old friends, Popular Mechanics.
Yeah, they come in quite handy for the New World Order.
Oh, they do, they do. They always do their job. Very reliable. Mm. And we have the magical American housing bank scam, a great video outlining this amazing scam. And we have a really important story, actually, which is down the bottom, but it was actually... the first story that came up last week after we did our show last week. So it's really important, actually, that we spend some time on these next two stories here. One being Professor John Christie, lead author of the 2001 IPCC report, saying that temperature records cannot be relied on as indicators of global climate change because temperature records are not maintained properly, and due to the urban heat island effect, we see increasing temperatures when there aren't increasing temperatures.
Yeah.
We see a claim from a former top climate advisor.
Phil Jones.
Yes. Well, actually, that's one of them. I'm getting to that. Another one is former climate chief says UN must investigate warming bias. This is coming from the top people in the discipline. And we also have the really, really important story about Phil Jones. And last week, I think it was on Saturday, Phil Jones was interviewed by the BBC. And he said in that interview that there was, in fact, no evidence, statistically significant evidence, of global warming since 1995.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm looking at the article on the dailymail.co.uk. I'm not sure if it's been reprinted here from the BBC, but basically the headline, you can Google it, is Climategate U-turn as climate scientist at center of row admits there has been no global warming since 1995. So it's a big headline. He goes on to say that he was considering, you know, suicide and all this other stuff. That's an interesting turn of events there, because he obviously has a lot of guilt or something of the or the pressure from the press, you know, coming down on him. And he was a guy that was at the center of this Climategate scandal. And a lot of these emails, he would actually say, you know, oh, we've got to, you know, hide the data. We can't let Freedom of Information Acts get close to this data. That sort of talk. And the pressure that was put on once those emails got out seemed to be a lot for him.
Totally. He is exhibiting signs of guilt. I agree. He to talk of suicide is not what you'd expect from someone who's basically a scientist who has a view based on facts. It's more the mindset and emotions of someone who's feeling guilt.
Yeah, and folks, this isn't just a scientist. This is the gatekeeper for the IPCC at the University of East Anglia. I mean, this is basic. Was it the University of East Anglia?
Yes, University of East Anglia Climate Research Unit.
Mm. This is the key out of you know, anthropogenic climate change.
Yeah, it's one of the most important.
Basically, three scientists at the IPCC, and he was one of them. Three or four, and he was one of them. This is the key guy. This is the gatekeeper. So any information that would come through or get out is put through him. And a lot of the emails were very damning that came out that he'd written.
Yeah. Now the story that you mentioned before, Josh, I'm pretty sure it came from this article from the BBC, which is actually an interview that, unfortunately, there's no audio. It would be great to actually hear the audio.
Mm, mm.
But I'm just going to read you the transcript of this interview.
Okay.
I want to read actually just two points from it, which are the most important. Now, the first question that was posed to Dr. Jones was, do you agree that according to the global temperature record used by the IPCC, that the rates of global warming from 1860 to 1880, 1910 to 1940, and 1975 to 1998 were identical? This is actually a really important question.
Yeah.
Okay, his response. An initial point to make is that in the responses to these questions, I've assumed that when you talk about the global temperature record, you mean the record that combines the estimates from land regions with those from the marine regions of the world. CRU produces the land component, with the Met Office Hadley Centre producing the marine component. Temperature data for the period 1860 to 1880 are more uncertain because of sparser coverage than for the later periods in the 20th century. The 1860 to 1880 period is only 21 years in length. As for the two periods 1910 to 1940, and 1975 to 1998, the warming rates are not statistically significantly different. Okay, well, really, forget about all of the all of the prevarication in the first bit there. When he finally cuts to the chase, he's basically admitting that there is no statistically significant...
it's no hockey stick.
There's no hockey stick according to the data as he knows it. Now, that's the first point, because it's the same trends. The trends haven't changed. But it gets better. It gets more and more incredible. The second question. Do you agree that from 1995 to the present, there has been no statistically significant global warming? Yes, he says, but only just. I also calculated the trend for the period 1995 to 2009. This trend, 0.12 degrees centigrade per decade is positive, but not significant at the 95% significance level. The positive trend is quite close to the significance level. Achieving statistical significance in scientific terms is much more likely for longer periods and much less likely for shorter periods. Excuse me. So let me just translate that into English for you. The answer to the question should have been yes. Because really the question was, do you agree that from 1995 to the present there has been no statistically significant global warming? Well, if you translate what he just said into plain English, it's yes.
Yeah. And look, folks, it's really important that we don't get too obsessed about if there's warming, if there's been cooling, if there's this and that. The climate does change. Climate goes up and down all the time. And look, for all I know, humans might be having the most minutest of effects. But we are not having a catastrophic, we are not having, the world isn't going to end, the oceans aren't going to die, the polar bears aren't going to die out, the this and that isn't going to happen that we've all been told because of man-made climate change, of man-made, of carbon that they want to tax us for is creating this catastrophe that they call. It was warmer between, 800 and 1300 AD.
Ah, let's turn to that topic because it's actually in here as well. It says here, there is a debate. This is question G on the BBC interview page. There is a question over whether the medieval warm period was global or not.
Now, people say it's isolated.
If it were to be conclusively shown that it was a global phenomenon, would you accept that this would undermine the premise that mean surface atmospheric temperatures during the latter part of the 20th century were unprecedented? Now, here's what he answers, and it's quite interesting. It's very instructive. He says, there is much debate over whether the medieval warm period was global in extent or not. The medieval warm period is most clearly expressed in parts of North America, the North Atlantic and Europe, and parts of Asia. For it to be global in extent, the medieval warm period would need to be seen clearly in more records from the tropical regions and the southern hemisphere.
And Tasmania.
Yeah.
Get some. We have to incorporate some little island in the Pacific.
Get some ice core measurements down in Tasmania. There are very few paleoclimatic records for these latter two regions. Well, it's hardly surprising, is it? Now, he then says, if the medieval warm period was shown to be global in extent and as warm or warmer than today, so he's not ruling it out, it can't be ruled out, then obviously the late 20th century warmth would not be unprecedented. On the other hand, if the medieval warm period was global but was less warm than today, then current warmth would be unprecedented. Okay, his final point on this is, we know from the instrumental temperature record that the two hemispheres do not always follow one another. We cannot, therefore, make the assumption that temperatures in the global average will be similar to those in the northern hemisphere. So we don't really know. We have evidence that it was warmer in the northern hemisphere at least. We don't know that it wasn't warmer in the southern hemisphere. So, again, these are the words from the master himself. So any claim you may have heard made that, oh, the medieval warm period was proven to be a purely localized phenomenon, that is bunk.
And, folks, I say it fairly often. We are not anti-environmentalism. We're not anti killing, we don't want to kill the earth.
I personally love trees, okay?
Yeah. I mean, we love nature. We love to bushwalk. We all love flowers and ants and insects and the amazing thing that the earth gives us. I mean, it's life. Without the earth, we wouldn't survive, so it's very important that we take care of it. But we are not causing climate change, and the reasons that if we follow the money behind climate change, it all goes back to massive banking cartels wanting to set up a global infrastructure and a global tax, and it's also a basis to undermine free markets.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to take a short program break and we're going to move on because we've got a whole heap of stuff to talk about. Just pause and please stand by.
But they told me it was good for me. But they said it was fine. They told me that it was good for me.
Well, you need the proper information. I'm sorry to tell you, you obviously haven't been listening to Truth News, Radio Australia.
No. But I will now.
Okay, we're back.
Yes, the
bit of comedy there.
The Truth News comedy team.
We need to do some more comedy sketches. I think our stings are getting a little bit old now. We need to refresh those.
Yeah, yeah. And if our listeners want to do some stings,
yeah,
you know, send them in.
Yeah,
we're always excited to hear from our listeners and to you know we can't do everything. It's just the two of us. We've all got day jobs.
We certainly
and,
do.
So if you can send money or you can send something you've made or some or even phone in with comments to the Skype line. I mean, we love nothing more.
There is very little we love more than to be Skyped or tweeted.
Yeah.
And retweeted.
And retweeted.
And we retweet other people's tweets too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If someone tweets something good, we retweet it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're like Twitterific.
Yep. Yep. We tweet and we retweet and we give ourselves a treat.
Yeah.
Whenever we tweet.
We're total twats. Now, okay. Talking of Twitter.
Yeah.
Folks, twitter.com/truthnewsoz with an OZ. Please follow us because, well, not please, but, you know, check it out.
We beg you.
You know, everyone that has joined it and we've got feedback from has gone, this is the most amazing little source of information. I can imagine because A, you can never get spammed if you're a Twitter member because you just unfollow them. If you get PO'd with what you're getting, you just unfollow them. So it's not like email where you get you know, constantly spammed once you've signed up to something and you can't get off of it. Twitter, you just unfollow them. So it's the reverse like that. And I'm not putting a big ad in here for Twitter. You know, there's other ones out there, but if people don't understand it, it's sort of like the Facebook, you know, updates. They sort of just keep rolling in, and it's a really good way to stay in communication with us. And
it's part of what they call Web 2.0.
Hmm.
Now,
that's right.
Speaking
User-generated
of Web 2.0,
content.
I've got plans to rebuild Truth News to Truth News 2.0. And in saying that, I mean really integrate it with all the social networking tools. I'm talking about Firefox add-ons. I'm talking about iPhone apps. Mm. I'm talking about taking Truth News to the next level. Yeah. And if there's anyone out there who's a listener who's got IT skills, graphic skills, web design skills, just send us your emails. Just flood us with emails, please.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be hard for me to get back to you, you know, all promptly, and it's going to be tricky to organize this. I'd like to establish a working group for the actual upgrade of Truth News to Truth News 2.0. I'd like to establish a working group so that we can actually get some collaborative you know, input into it and make it something really good. Make it something that can be a news portal that can compete with like Crikey or, you know, Matilda and these new
Huffington.
You know, Huffington Post and, you know, but you know, as we know, most of those other so-called independent third party websites and news websites are actually very controlled. I've checked out some of these ones from Australia, and what I found is that there's a very strong political agenda there. Now, of course, we have an agenda. Everyone has an agenda, but we are, and this is what I really want to. I'm willing to stand by this claim. Okay, we want the truth. We want the facts. Right. And now, Josh, you've got views about politics and the economy and how society should be run. I've got views about it. So does everyone. Of course we do. But we are not part of a political agenda platform. In other words, we are not trying to bring about, you know, a certain type of economic ism into society. No. What I say is, let's tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may.
Absolutely. Let's expose the lies, the spin, the deception. Let's show the other side, which is, unpopular. Let's put our necks out. And that's what Truth News is all about. And, sometimes we might not know the actual truth. And we always ask our listeners to come back and please correct us. Because, we're not saints. We're not oracles. We don't know it all. And I'll be the first to admit I don't know, hardly anything. But what I try to do is strive towards finding some sort of truth. And how that happens is using the scientific method by constantly correcting yourself, not being dogmatic with a viewpoint, and constantly reevaluating based on new information that comes up. So we always ask our listeners to give us feedback and to help us to strive closer to our name, which is Truth News. Now, just getting back to this, to one of our stories on our Twitter feed, and this ties in with the Web 2.0 thing. There's a story that ex-florist cheats via Google Maps and now has to do community service.
Yeah, now, interesting story. Really interesting.
Basically, this woman got onto Google Maps, and it's almost like a Wikipedia where you can get in there and edit your business information. Now, she was being a naughty girl. She was going around to her competitors and changing the addresses or something like that to point to her address, so that when people would look up Google Maps, or they'd go to Google Maps on their iPhone, type in florist, the only one would pop up as her or something along that ilk. I mean, why was she taken to court? Why was the police called in? And I really don't understand how the government can get involved, or the law, when someone is doing something like that. I mean, surely this is an issue with Google, and an issue where they have to sort out. It's a private enterprise. It's like if I went onto Wiki and wrote something. And I was then dragged off by the police because I changed something on Wiki that was false. It is going down a very, very dangerous path. And I know it's ridiculous because she was in the fault. But this is how it happens. This is the little drop off the edge. First little step. Ooh, someone put something up on a Web 2.0 concept. Now, Web 2.0, folks that don't understand, the original Web 1. It was basically people putting web pages up, and that's it. Web 2.0 is where it's collaborative. So I can go onto, so Facebook is collaborative. I go onto Facebook, I create the web. People create the web pages using tools where everyone collaborates. Wikipedia is a great example of Web 2.0, where people get on there and they keep posting new stuff. They say, hey, that's not right. Someone else jumps in and changes it, corrects it slightly. They have a debate over it, and then the final truth gets put up there. Now, what this woman has done is gone through and has done something bad. She's gone around and pointed, and she was obsessed by it. She did it over 100 times. Eventually, the courts, the police got involved. And,
it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Herod, what do you think of this?
Look, I mean, the great strength of the way Google Maps works is it relies on community input to populate the data. That's how it came to be so powerful, because anyone can update it. It's like Wikipedia. It's the same concept. And these tend to be the concepts that work best on the web, because it actually harnesses the power of millions upon millions and billions of people. Now, of course, it can be misused. Now, the best way to deal with that, it's not a police matter. It's ridiculous. I mean, it would be like someone being arrested for impersonating someone on YouTube, saying some. I mean, there is questions of defamation of character, and I don't want to get into that whole question of the law about that. But I mean, these laws are just overkill. It's totally, it's ridiculous, burdensome, waste of taxpayer money, totally outrageous to make the courts and the police go through this whole system. Absolutely.
People always deal, the people have the tendency to deal with stuff with violence. And that is what you're doing. When you're calling the police and getting the courts involved, you're dealing with something with violence. Because at the end of the day, if you resist the courts, you get taken down violently. The whole issue here is, there's better ways to think about stuff. So, for instance, I mean, I'm not, you know, amazing genius of Web 2.0 or anything, but here's just a little concept off the top of my head. Have people vote. Is this correct? The more people that vote and vote it up, just like the YouTube comments, you know, if you say, yep, this is correct, if three people vote it up, then it's more sticky and it's harder to change. Or another concept is maybe, you know, a store owner can claim their little spot on the map by sending in some sort of verification to Google of a business address or something like that. I mean, these things aren't hard to do for Google. So I think the people who are at fault here are Google, because people are always going to try to get around things, and that is Google's issue, not the law.
Indeed. And I mean, I'd like to know more about this story as to how it came to be a legal, how it came to be a police matter. Mm. As far as I know, Google doesn't tend to provoke these type of things. I don't think Google would have initiated that. I may be wrong. I think it's probably came from the competitors probably made complaints. They probably found some obscure statute in the law to actually prosecute on. The rest is history. But Google has already shown their reluctance to actually intervene on behalf of government. Recently, when Senator Conroy kind of boasted on ABC television, I'd like to play some of that maybe later if we can get it up, that he actually boasted on ABC television that he was planning to get Google involved in their censorship plans.
Yeah.
And Google responded quite quickly. They actually found out about what he'd said, and they said, no, sorry, mate. No, think again. We're not going to do that for you. Yeah. I mean, we know they did do it for the Chinese. So, yeah. You know, their hands are not clean either. But it's just quite incredibly cheeky and just preposterous that Conroy would think that he can just, you know, just harness Google to basically be his big brother.
Well, you know, he praised China of how Google's dealt with China Chinese censorship.
Look, we've just gone 8 o'clock. We're going to get Jack Frost on momentarily. So just stand by, guys. Going to have a really interesting chat with Jack.
All right.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Okay, I'd like to welcome back to the show Jack Frost. Jack is a radio host of the Skid Row Morning Show, 88.9 FM, Workers Radio. Jack is a great guy. He's, you know, he hasn't actually been on our show before, but Crispy has been on. Crispy's his co-host, and Jack's been involved in a lot of the activism for 9/11 and other kind of truth and justice stuff around Sydney. And, you know, Jack, hi. How's it going?
How you doing there, Herod? Thanks for letting me. And Josh, is Josh Sean?
Oh, I am. Yeah, I'm right here.
Thank you for letting me be on Truth News Radio. It's an honour. I'm doing great.
Well, yeah, you're doing great. I've been listening to your show a bit in the morning. I mean, you're a pretty polished radio host yourself.
Yeah, well, I try my best. I mean, getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning's a bit hard, but I do 4 days a week, Monday to Thursday, 6 o'clock in the morning to nine, and I try to be polished as much as I can, but I've got my other co-host, which is Cat Complex and Crispy T, who help me out, and we just give out the news.
Well, if I may say, I think you do a bit of a balancing act there, because you know, some of the views that come out are a little bit extreme on certain ways, and you seem to sort of balance them out a bit, actually.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the mediator with Crispy T and Cat Complex, and because I'm on the panel and I do all the boards and stuff like that, so I'll pick the news out. And Crispy T is well informed of the activism and the news about New World Order, global warming, the global warming scam, the banks, the fiat money, and then you've got Cat Complex, who's a great activist in her own right, who's an atheist, a a feminist, and I'd say and does a lot of the marginalisation on the radio.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're all all important stuff. On Truth News, we try to cut to the things that are the real blockers for freedom. And, freedom and truth, I guess, and justice, they're big words. Everyone's got their own version. Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Well, look, if we look at and this is why I think the show at Skid Row is so important, because it's the only show that's on air that that actually exposes some of the issues of freedom. No one really talks in Australia about freedom anymore. They seem to just be happy in their gluttony. But I think one of the things of workers' radio. I don't like huge unions corroborating with governments. I think it's a pretty awful state of affairs that is, but I have no problem with people, workers, getting together and creating unions to pressure for better work relations and stuff, but where it comes from, this the building of unions of workers together, is to get away from the bondage of the employer and
corporations,
of the corporations, and this is this is, where it runs. Freedom in the workers' rights movement runs deep, the whole freedom agenda. So,
and also, guys, we really want to get people in Sydney and in Australia aware of the freedom issues that are creeping in, the erosions of freedom that are creeping in. And there's just three things I want to talk about while you're on, Jack, about that, which is the biometric scanning, the body scanners. New biometric scanning now of your face to renew your driver's license, which is a new one on me, but a friend told me this, that he went to get his driver's license renewed, had to go through a biometric scan. And a story that I just discovered today, the new healthcare ID as of July. You've heard about that one?
We mentioned that on the radio today. It was in the Daily Telegraph. I missed it yesterday when I was doing Skid Row.
Yeah.
And Claire brang it up, and we have this 6-digit number.
Amazing,
for a healthcare card, for your health, so the doctors can monitor you, know what your history of medical thing. And this just sounds like the national ID card that Bob Hawke tried to bring out. And
doesn't it?
They're putting it through the health system. They're sneaky little bastards. But this is like mandatory, and everyone in July the 1st is going to get this new.
Every single person in Australia. I mean,
every single
what
person.
A massive
and they
rollout.
Said, you have no choice. That was the reading from the media. No choice.
What That's if you just don't want to have one? What if you just say, look, sir, I don't want to have one?
Well, yeah, I don't. That's
and the thing is, a lot of people will spin, everyone in the news will say this is an issue for doctors. This will help doctors get information.
Consolidate things, that's what they'll say, for the paperwork, to make it easier. People will be unemployed for this. It's just the thing that they're trying to be doing for the last, 30 years maybe, since they've been trying to do an ID form, a single ID form that consolidates everything, your driver's license, everything else. I mean, to me, I think it's like, is the chip coming in?
Well, the chip would be a next step.
Really behind it is the consolidation of information for the insurance lobby. I mean, at the end of the day, the insurance companies really would love to know exactly what's going on with individuals so they can get a better view on who to insure and who not to. I mean, if you look at, right now, for me, I mean, I've got, I don't actually have a regular doctor. I go here and there and everywhere. So my details are not really known. Now, if we have a central number, I could, if I move into state or anything like that, insurance companies could easily find out more information about.
Well, it says here, Josh, in the article here I'm reading, healthcare professionals will be able to retrieve a patient's IHI, I think that's the number, using their current Medicare card or via a demographic search. So there'll be some sort of search option. It'll be almost like a telephone number. But there are concerns that some people could have access to two ID numbers. I don't quite know what they mean by that. Yes. Well, I mean, obviously, the system is going to also be data mined. It's going to store medical records and information about what medications you've had.
Absolutely, so, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's no. Why else would they do it? Why else have a number? I mean, it's...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't understand it either. And what's the thing is that we have no. Well, it's supposed to be a democracy sort of country, and they're putting it in, and we have no saying in it. And that's what scares me.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's the same with the biometric driver's licenses. Now,
I haven't heard about this.
Well,
one.
Yeah, this is being phased in on the sly. This hasn't even been reported on, but a friend of mine went to renew his license, and he had to go through one of these biometric checks, and he said, whoa, hang on. You know, I didn't agree. I didn't sign up for this, you know. And they said, well, sorry, sir, you can't get your license unless you go through the biometric scan. And he initially refused, but because he needs the license for his work, he's agreed to do it. But he wrote a letter to his MP, and his MP didn't know anything about it. And there's a bit of you know, controversy here because a lot of people who should know don't even know about it.
Well, this is through the RTA?
Through the RTA, yeah, exactly.
Well, that's interesting because I've got to go for my license in 4 days.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that. I mean, look. Yeah.
This is Alex Jones went through this years and years ago when they brought it out in the States, and Alex made a big media hype about it. He brought cameras down there. He refused to get his fingers scanned, and you know, he said, "I'm not a criminal." All this, and it really stirred some stuff up, which was great. I mean, eventually, you know, a couple of weeks later, he had to go and do it, but. But, you know, it definitely got out there in the news, and I think there's a great opportunity there for We Are Change or someone to go there with some cameras and stir up the stink.
Well, the point is, what are we going to do?
Sorry,
go. Yeah, I mean, what are we going to do, guys? I mean, like, we've been tracked, we're being traced, we're being scanned, we're being biometrically identified, our bodies are being exposed naked to scanners at airports, and that's probably going to be rolled out to other facilities. What are we going to do about it? And what are our arguments? And how do we make our arguments clear? Because I've been chatting about this with some people, and I had a talk to some co-workers and people I know about the biometric scanning. Most people don't think it's a big deal. Most people actually don't register it as being a problem at all. And I can sort of understand where they're coming from, because like a friend of mine was telling me that she went to Canada recently and she came back. And a lot of people were going through the e-passport booth, right? And apparently the queue was really quick. So if you have an e-passport now, they've actually already got it set up at the airports. So you actually just go straight through. You don't even have to be interviewed or anything. You just go straight through, and you put your face up to the scanner. Now, you know...
Well, I'll tell you...
Well, you know, it's convenient. Wow, you know, it's like it's a quicker queue.
This is how they roll it out. They roll it out with convenience.
Yeah.
They roll it out with necessity. So you have to get your eye scan to go to your job, or thumb scan to log into your job to clock in, or you have to get a biometric scan for your driver's license. It's a necessity, or a number for your healthcare. These are things you cannot go without, or they make it so convenient that. You know, that you're just going to do it. It's kind of like the toll on the bridge, you know. Yeah, it's a toll, but if you want to get to the other side, you have to go all the way around to Gladesville, and, you know, it's probably cost you $3 in petrol. But, you know, it's through necessity or through convenience. Now, what can we say against this? Well, I mean, I definitely am among the concept of, look, that they won't go after you, but if someone has the need to or the want to, someone that is well connected to shut you down, they can't. So if they all of a sudden they want to shut your banks, your healthcare, they want to steal your identity, they want to turn off your money supply, they want to hunt you down because you've got something that isn't going with the government of the day, and this is very important, the government of the day, of their political view. If you're you know, talking against their political framework, then they can take you down. And this is so important. They think, oh, yeah, but, you know, there's nothing wrong. Look, what happens, these massive infrastructures of control grids get set up, and then some sort of government comes in, like, you know, I mean, who would have thought Nazi Germany would have turned out like that? You know, they were normal people. They weren't evil people. They just, they got controlled with fear and anger and not being able to feed their kids. So they had to blame someone, and boom, you get hardcore government ready to kill and murder millions. And
That's how it starts. I mean, with the what you're saying about Nazi Germany, they get to the workers or the grassroots, the people who are working. He gets them in. There were a union beforehand, right? And they get them in, and then next minute it becomes, well, supposedly a democracy, and then it becomes a republic, and then tyranny comes in, and then they control it. But the thing is, in the Western world, and like what we're talking about with, you know, the healthcare card and stuff like that, they do it so slyly. I mean, they practice on marginalized people. For instance, you heard about the eye scan that they did about a year and a half ago. They did an eye scan in the there's an injecting room in Sydney. The health department has put a safe injecting room for drug addicts and whatever. So, and they tested on them an eye scan that they, without doing any paperwork, they tested on an eye scan. It's been documented in the papers. They put it on and then they said, no, I don't want to do this, and they took it off. So it's interesting how they just slyly doing this to control us.
So we need a movement to emerge in this country, a movement about freedom. And, you know, I'm going to keep saying this every show because I want it to happen. I want to encourage it. It needs to be a movement that brings together all the different people who care about freedom from all the different aspects of it. You know, we've got all these different people that we know that are against, you know, big corporate, you know, genetically modified foods or government, big pharma and chemicals and control of the police state and ETS taxes and, you know, biometric scanning and all these different erosions that are coming at from different, attacking us from different sides. We need to pull it together to make, because there's a lot of us, you know, when you think about it that way, there's a lot of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going back to Jack's comment there, imagine if Hitler had the sophistication of control that we do now, the sophistication of biometric scanners, knowing where everybody is right away, the national number, the database. You know, back then everything was on paper. Yeah, they had records of who was who purely from a census form. You know, and that took them a long time to cipher through, find out who, you know, the Jews and the mentally handicapped. And,
wasn't that IBM? IBM had started that off.
Well, they had the punch card system, yeah, but I mean, it was very primitive. You know, it was extremely primitive and very clumsy and all that. But you know, the nowadays. Yeah. And people say, oh yeah, but your stuff is out there anyway. I mean, just look at Facebook. People voluntarily put it on there. Yeah, that's the key word, voluntarily. I don't mind voluntarily jumping on Facebook and giving whatever information I want to. But being in a control grid where a government of the day tries to enforce this sort of control grid around me, and gives me no other option. It gives us only a pure monopoly on control.
Yeah,
I think it's very dangerous.
Has anyone got a song? Dangerous. Has anyone got a song request on that theme? Has anyone got a good song?
Yeah,
to,
I do. Have you got Cog?
Yeah, let's get Cog up.
Are you interested? Their video clip explains about surveillance, and they're an Australian band. They're from Bondi. And I saw them, they're quite heavily into, you know, what we're talking about.
They seem to be, don't they? I've seen their video clip. Yeah, it's quite interesting.
And it's a great song, and it's sort of, yeah.
Well, cool. We'll take a short break. We'll play that, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Better wake up and understand that there are people who are guiding your life and you don't even know it.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Okay, we're back. Truth News
Great
Radio.
Great track, that one.
It was a good track, wasn't it?
Yes, they are making lists.
Yeah.
They are. And it's an interesting video clip, and it's good that Cog is out there spreading the news. And hopefully we should interview him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really keen. I mean, obviously they're Sydney based. We hope get involved with them. You know, hopefully they might be interested in, you know, some of the stuff that we do.
Oh, look, sounds like it.
Hopefully, yeah, we can get him in.
Get him in, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I heard them, what we're into than their music. That's just one guy's told me.
Interesting.
They're right into it.
Oh, that is so interesting. Oh, thanks for that, Jack. That's really, really good. Look, would you like to tell us a bit about Workers Radio? Or what do we call it, Radio Skid Row or Workers Radio? I get a bit confused.
Well, Workers Radio started off as, I know I got in there, 2 years ago? I've nearly done broadcasting for over 2 years, I think in April. And it started off, and I started off as a broadcaster, and it was about the unions. It was a lobby for the unions for the people, for the workers, and it was a push for about the work choice laws. Now, the unions won the government in 2000, I think it was.
Sorry,
and then I come
Jack,
aboard in 2008, and the guy who was doing...
Hello, Jack.
Am I dropping out?
Yeah, we're losing your signal a bit there. Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, hello? I can hear you.
Yeah, we're losing your signal a little.
Yeah.
Okay, look, we might just have to call you back. Just stand by. Okay, I think we've sorted our sound issues now. Jack, you were just recapping on the background of your involvement with Skid Row Radio.
Yeah, started Skid Row, Workers Radio, which is the program 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., Monday to Thursday. I started about 2 years ago. I went to TAFE, did broadcasting, radio broadcasting. I couldn't think of anything else to do. I was going to do basic computer skills, but I ended up doing radio broadcasting. Anyway, I ended up on the radio station for a community radio station, which is, and it was called Workers Radio, which was a union-based show for the unions. And it was lobbying for the government, for the works against the Howard policy, and obviously they won. And after the election, which was 2007, I ended up going on to Workers Radio. And the guy who ran that, he got disenchanted. He wasn't interested in it anymore, so I started doing the show myself. Started off 2 days doing a broadcast, learning about politics, and doing my own show. And I just couldn't help myself to give the people out there who, and it's a broad range, it goes right around Sydney, the issues of what, sort of the, all this mainstream media corporation spin. I thought I'd, through the internet and everything else that I was studying myself, I thought I'd give it out to the audience. So I started doing it in blips and blaps because I was on FM radio. And then eventually I got Crispy T on with me, who I met at a rally, the 911 rally, on a town hall. And he was exactly what I didn't know. There were groups like the 911 Truth Movement or We Are Change. And then I was researching myself, and that's how I put him on, because exactly what I wanted for the show.
It's great.
I mean, the only show that I listened to at that time was Alex Jones, and I saw movies, and I was just researching myself. And then I got on that, and then we started talking about what you guys do on Truth News Radio, which is so great. And we started to do that, but it's hard when you're on FM radio, and the policies of Workers Radio, it's a community radio, so it's, you have that sort of freedom of speech. If you listen to other corporate mainstream media, you have producers and shareholders, and it's like a board meeting and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I ran with it, and we've been going for like over a year, nearly a year now, of doing what we've been doing. And I've put Cat Complex as well on, and she balances the whole act of doing it, and we've been getting a lot of good response. And and what you were saying before, Harold and Josh, about, you know, how are we going to get it out there? And media is supposed to be truthful news. It's for the community. We're supposed to, the media has a responsibility to give us honest news. And when it comes to political agenda, it isn't.
That's right.
It's all lies and deceit.
That's right. And they play different sides of the political spectrum. They play them up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then because I've done the Workers' Radio is supposed to be, well, it's known as a socialism sort of radio station, or and what it is, it's left. And we talked about trading scheme, and Crispy T was very much into that. And we were doing it, say, about 8 months ago, and we're pushing for that. Sorry?
Into what, sorry?
And we're pushing for that. And a lot of people saying the emission trading scheme, global warming, that's it.
Well, look, you're breaking up again, unfortunately, Jack. We're having a bit of trouble with your signal.
Right.
Do you have a landline number?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I live in this apartment,
yeah,
and I've got this dodgy ISP, so I'm very sorry about this.
Look, it's really breaking up, unfortunately. We might have to terminate. I hate to do that, I just want to say that the media, from my point of view, what the media are doing is that they are playing up different party political angles. And just to give you an example of this, I mean, 2GB Radio and Alan Jones played up the global warming skepticism position. Now, that was good. I liked it, right? However, don't think that 2GB and Alan Jones are on your side or that they're good. They're not, okay? Mm. Because today, I had an email from one of our listeners and who wanted me to talk about this, is that apparently at the moment on 2GB, they are beating the drum of war with Iran. And apparently Alan Jones is very much part of that.
Oh, he was massively into the war into Iraq.
Right.
I called up plenty of times trying to get it, you know, where they were saying, this guy's a psychopath and this, which he was. But he definitely didn't have weapons of mass destruction. There was no evidence of it. He couldn't have hurt a flea that wasn't inside of his own power grid and control grid. And I'm talking about Hussein here, Saddam Hussein. Now, Alan Joy, I mean, they were really beating the drums about it. And I've never heard, you know, I just refuse to listen to them now. I mean, yeah, look, they're good that they're fighting this global warming scam, but you know, this is where you can't form alliances. Don't form alliances with us. Don't form alliances with anyone. Get your own information. Get from multiple sources. Figure out the truth. Don't be propagandized, because that's what the media is great at, and the New World Order really plays that card well. You know, I mean, look at even Murdoch himself. You'll get Fox News on one hand. Then you'll get, you know, a movie like Avatar, or you'll get a company in the news over the other side of the world in Britain, owned by Murdoch, pumping the exact opposite angle than Fox News. So, you know, you have this whole mind game is really important to get past, and how you get past it is get on the internet and research information. If you're upset about something, don't just go... Don't just watch Channel 9 News or Channel 7 News and go, oh, that's upsetting. Geez, and then go around repeating everything like a parrot. Actually, if you're upset about something, get on the internet and study it. Figure it out. Figure out if you've been told a whole heap of bull. Nowadays, you don't have an excuse.
You don't.
Well, Alan Jones is, well, he's obviously...
Look, he's...
He's that. You can see that he's on the Abbott. Yeah, it's who that. And I think Alan Jones is with the climate change, and that's great as well. But he's been backed, and I know he's been backed by Tony Abbott. I just know that he's gunning for Tony Abbott to get in, and he's getting the people behind him. And you're right on that. It's the media. It's paid by money, and it's influenced by money. And Alan Jones is lobbying for Tony Abbott.
Look, and that's why it's so important to support
Tony Abbott will change his policies. He's not he's not a skeptic for climate change.
No, he's proved he's not.
With the emissions trading scheme.
Exactly. They'll ease it in. I mean, they basically I'm being forced to back off on this now. They're all being forced to back off on it. But the trend is that they're going to bring it in, and they'll try to just ease it back in somehow. We just got to keep vigilant, just keep fighting it. Look, in the time that we got left, I wanted to spend a bit of time tonight talking about Peter Garrett and the installation fiasco, and because I really think that this is so illustrative of so many things that are going wrong in our society. It's almost like a textbook example of why so many things are screwed up. Because, and I'll just summarize it, I'll just bullet point it. You know, we've got, it goes back to the Kyoto Protocol. It goes back to Australia signing up to that back in the mid-1990s to have a lower carbon footprint. That's where the economic incentive comes in to the government to put insulation in everyone's home, okay? Mm. I mean, there's got to be a reason for this. It doesn't just come out of nowhere, right? So it does tie into the climate change scam. And, and it also, I think, is connected to, for example, the scandal over the land use and Peter Spencer, the farmer from the Southern Highlands. I think that's his name. Did I get it right? Anyway, he's the farmer from the Southern... who was told that, you know, he wasn't allowed to farm his land. Again, it's all part of the Kyoto Protocol. Australia trying to prove that they've lowered their emissions to fit in with that. Of course, the insulation would be part of that. It was also part of the economic stimulus plan, which was this giant, you know, interventionist solution to the global money crisis, which is to basically get, you know, governments to pump money into the economy, just pump it full of money, you know. So they thought of this home insulation scheme. Wow, that'd be a great way. We can meet our Kyoto targets, and we can bail out the economy in one amazing package. And
can I just interrupt here? And this is really goes to the heart of something that's a deep belief in me, is that you cannot fund things with you cannot have a free market. You cannot stimulate economies using the force of violence, which is the force of government. You cannot extract taxes off of people, which is a violent act, because if you don't pay it, then you will go to jail, or you will be, you know, submitted to. You'll be enforced using force. Now, by stimulating an economy with violence, you basically give a mafia a whole heap of money to then go and just spend it it's not their money, they'll just spend it how it is. Now, so they don't really care about how it's being spent, so they just throw it out there, and then you get a whole heap of hooligans just grabbing at it and saying, yeah, I'll do it, and then just, you know, you get fiascos like dodgy insulation companies. And this is why it just never works, where the best way to stimulate the economy, the best way to get people building better homes is to say, hey, let's reduce your taxes. Let's reduce your taxes, and if you want to make your house worth more to the market, to the free market, by insulating your house and then giving your own little star rating and saying, hey, actually, you know, by buying this house, it's already insulated, so your electricity bills will be less, all this and that. You're A, stimulating the economy, and B, you're making your house worth more to the market because you've got a great star rating house for energy efficiency. Now, there you go. You've done the same thing, but you've taken out the violence. And the governments love to pork barrel because they're giving out free money to people. And people go, oh, yes, oh, I get my free insulation. Oh, you know, oh, well, no, hey, it's not free. Everyone's paid. You've paid for it already through your taxes.
Exactly. That's a good point, Josh, yeah. I mean, and Peter Garrett is used, and I can't believe Peter Garrett is used as a scapegoat and as a puppet for this. I mean, how is he being bought and sold? I don't understand. You play his music, and he wanted to be a politician, and, you know, behind closed doors, and he's part of the agenda, and he won't quit. He hasn't opened up and said, look, this is all just a bunch of, you know, it's a scam. And it's sad to see that, because a lot of people looked up to Peter Garrett. But, yeah, you're right, Josh, it's terrible how the politics. We should, the government. I don't think we should have a government.
Yeah. I mean, I'm honestly the exact same. I mean, there's no need for it. There is just no need for them. They just get in the way. They steal from you, and that's all.
They are the criminals. That's what I believe, and they do it behind the law. And the law is, well, to me, the law is a criminal anyway. Act anyway. It's just, you know, and the politicians, whatever we say to them, they'll do it. For instance, with the health number and stuff like that, and it's sad. And we've got to do something about it. And the only way we can do is just the people do it through the media and just keep going on, you know. Even musicians, if Cog's going to do it, they should as well. They should speak out. They should do it subliminal. Just say it out, straight out.
Well, look, as I like to say,
on Truth News Radio.
As I say on this show, basically, we just try to tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may. You know, we should have a discussion about all kinds of stuff about how the world should be run. What is a government? Define government. Because before you say let's get rid of government, can we please define what it is? Because everyone's got a different opinion about what
it's
that
beast
is. It's
a monopoly on violence, basically.
Well, that's your opinion, though, Josh. You see, basically, you've got your opinion. Well, no, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. And that there are other people who've got a different opinion. And what I'm saying is everyone should have their opinion and all come together and talk about it. Now, but one of the problems we run up against is if we go and advocate on the show, we want to end government, then basically what we sound like is we've got a political agenda. Now, if we sound like we've got a political agenda, then when we come on the show and say, hey, we want to tell you the truth about genetically modified foods, we want to tell you the truth about 9/11, they go, oh, no, you're just pushing your political agenda because you want to get rid of government. Here's the problem. We've got to, basically what I say is, we've got to just basically give the facts. The people should decide whether there's government. If the people want to have government, then the people should have government. If they don't want to have government, they shouldn't have government.
But, you know, the thing is that the notion of sort of an anarcho-capitalistic government or a socialist government or a communist government or any sort of system, you know, it never gets talked about. It never gets talked about in the media. And,
that's right.
And you know, I, for one, you know, it's not like we're going to, you know, have some sort of that big of a say to have any sort of real massive influence, and I know where you're coming from, Harold. But at the same time, I don't like getting on the radio and just blurring problems out the whole half hour. I like to show, hey, here's some solutions that might work. I mean, you know, at the same time. So.
Well, with the government, right? I mean, for instance, with the Reserve Bank and stuff like that, we have the government, and now the government, we own the government, right? Supposedly, the money situation with the Reserve Bank, that they get money from the Reserve Bank and then they charge us interest. Well, why doesn't the government, right, have our money, do it ourselves, and they have no interest? I mean, is that a solution?
No, absolutely. I mean, it was done before. That was how the Commonwealth Bank got introduced.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very good point.
But the government, and this is why I say, right, we shouldn't have no government, because the government at the moment will do what they want, and we just sort of go, well, okay. Because the fact is that there are people who have families, they don't want to rock the boat because they've got mortgages, they're slave to everything else, they don't want to rock the boat.
You're breaking up on us.
Consume. People, and this is what...
You're breaking up on us there, Jack. We can barely hear you. Sorry about that, dude. But look, just to summarise there, because we're going to have to wind up the show shortly, I just wanted to point out that we started on this story with the home insulation, we're talking about how it's problematic, badly disorganised, etc. But there's a real human cost to this. I mean, 4 people were killed, right? There were over up to 80 house fires. There's at least dozens of fires that have been started because of the faulty insulation. And the latest news that's come out today is that it's not just the faulty insulation. The solar panel installations as well are starting fires because they're overseen and administered in the same shonky way. So we've got 400,000 homes in Australia that have now got to be reinspected because they're possibly at risk. We've also got the insulation bats, the actual insulation blue or pink bats soaked in formaldehyde, and that is a highly toxic poison, a carcinogen, and causing, who knows what problems that's going to cause in the future. Mm. Fires are being started by the insulation actually getting down into the cracks where people have put down lights and igniting. It is an absolute disaster. I mean, this is really quite an incredible disaster that's been created by this misguided, bumbling, bureaucratic, big government, solution to a problem that wasn't even a problem. I mean, if people need to have better insulation, they should be able to have it. All power to anyone who wants to be able to have better insulation. Great. But people should do it in their own time and in their own way, and they should basically pay for it, because if you don't pay for it, you don't get a good result. And that's, I think, what Josh was pointing out before, is that everything in life works on the basis of a fair exchange. But if you set up a gravy train, a junket, then what you get is, well, the company that was doing the insulations was run by some shonky, sleazy entrepreneur who ran call centres, and then he saw this opportunity and he jumped onto this. This is what these business people do, that they look for these junkets of handouts. And they're
absolutely
always there.
They should. I mean, it's like if Ford all of a sudden, if the government said, we're going to give everybody a free Ford car. Well, how do you think they're going to spit out that many Ford cars? They're going to get it done as quickly and as cheaply and as crappily as possible to get this demand out. And all of a sudden, there was this huge demand for insulation. What's going to happen? You're going to get shonky guys, untrained, and, people have died. We've had, four or five deaths of poor young lads gone up there and electrocuted themselves from these mats. And so, along with a glutton of free money comes debt. And it isn't free. Your children and your children's children, it's their debt.
Yeah.
Because the government bonds paying for this stuff is a debt on their future tax revenue.
And of course, when you inject money into the economy, you create inflation, which lowers the value of money. So it's an indirect form of taxation, as someone cleverly said.
Exactly. Yeah. It's an indirect taxation. Instead of actually taxing you on the day, they just tax your savings using inflation.
Yeah. So look, guys, listeners, thanks. We've had some really good emails this week. We've had some really great feedback. And, the Twitter numbers are climbing. So it's great. I'm looking forward to doing some really interesting things with this show.
Yeah, it's great having you, Jack, on. You've got some fantastic insights. And, folks, I recommend you please leave some comments for the shows. If you can donate, jump onto the website. If you can just even donate your comments, just comment.
Yeah.
Or leave some call us on the Skype line that goes out in the email. If you subscribe to the email, subscribe to the Twitter channel, and tell your friends, get on the Facebook, and post this show around, because every little bit of helps us. We're doing it all for free, and our currency and the way we get paid is by people recognizing and spreading the show.
Our currency is truth.
Thanks, guys. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Sorry about the audio problems there. Anyway,
that's all right.
We hope to catch up with you soon.
No worries.
Okay. Good night.
See you next week.
Okay, well, that about winds up the show for tonight. Good night to you, Josh.
Yeah. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Harold, and we'll see you next week.
Indeed.
Good night, Australia.
Good night, world.
Thank you.